Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to another 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably. You always have to say probably. We say probably twice.
I could be the last person to say probably, that's it.
Oh dear. Welcome to our 11th podcast.
Well, don't 10? Say numbers.
No, we're allowed. We're definitely going to put this one out.
I think this is the 10th.
This is the 10th. Yeah, it is.
Oh, is it? No, it's the 9th. Oh God, you've ruined it already. Ruined this.
You're right, it is the 9th. It is the 9th.
Okay.
Yeah, 9th. Ooh.
Oh, maybe it's the 10th.
Ah, God.
Anyway, moving swiftly on. So this week it's Inception.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So you just surprised me there because I didn't think we were going to reveal the name of the film quite so early on.
People have tuned in. They want to know which one it is.
I suppose they do, but they would have noticed already since, you know, we put the name of the film
this
in.
This might
the title.
Be on shuffle, though, on an iPod.
Yes, that's right. This right now is playing out at a party.
Exactly.
And someone scrabbles for their iPod, trying to desperately switch it off, while everyone goes like, what's this? Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying yourselves. No, because we've got some exciting news, haven't we, Lewis?
Oh, yeah. We got an email.
We've got two messages. Correspondence.
Yeah, correspondi.
Correspondi. We need some kind of... we need another jingle.
Yeah, we definitely need another jingle. That's one thing we're lacking. Oh, I still haven't done the trivia.
Well, that's fine. We've got a workable one as it is. So, yeah, should be some kind of pun on films and letters. Anyway, we'll think about that later.
I wish we'd have talked about this before we started the podcast.
Now I've said it out loud, we should have definitely done. But we've got two messages.
Yeah,
it's very exciting. Yeah. So, first of all, from Sam all the way out there. I don't know, he's your friend, isn't he?
Yeah,
so
where does
he live?
He lives in Edinburgh.
All the way from Scotland, we've got Sam here. He's got straight to the point, hasn't he, in his message? He hasn't dallied around. He's just said, films what I think you should review.
That's it, straight in.
We've got, rightfully, this is annoying, because when we dished out the letters, well, the two of the letters, we took one each, and I looked at the list of the films, and there are two films on here, which I just checked the pronunciation with Lewis, and he said, do you want to write that down? I was like, no, it's fine, I'll remember. I've forgotten already. So is Satouchi?
Oh,
come on.
Zatoichi.
Damn it. And I got it right before, didn't I? Well, Dogtown and Z-Boys.
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 American.
Oh, okay. Well, we're in England now. I should say Britain. As this is, he's living in Scotland.
That's true.
Garden State. No, sorry, Sam. We're not doing that one. I've seen that. No, we're not doing that one. Dazed and Confused. And Princess... Monioka.
All that coaching before.
I know. What is it? Monioka.
Mononoke.
Mononoke. There you go.
Well, Princess Mononoke is really
thanks,
good.
Sam. Yeah, cheers, thanks, boys, Sam. It says at the end there. Cheers, it's really boys. Nice of you. It genuinely is really lovely to hear from you, in, even though you did suggest Garden State. But the rest of the films, we'll probably do one of those, at least one of those, won't we, Lewis?
Yeah, well, I think we should definitely do Zatoichi and possibly Princess Mononoke
all
as
right,
well.
Don't go mad. We'll give them two. there's only 101 to do.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we got another one from Ian Twiddy, who wrote to our email address.
It's suspicious, isn't it, that... What the only other letters from someone called Ian? It does sound like we've made them up. One's from a friend of yours, and another one's from someone who suspiciously has the exact same name as me.
Yeah.
Although, obviously, my surname is. We shouldn't have given his surname, really.
No.
No. Why don't you read out his email address?
People are going to send him hate mail. So this one's from Ian, and he writes, "Illustrious sirs," glad he's correct. Address this correctly.
At last.
Hope both of you have recovered from recent malaises. Really enjoy.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Someone actually listens.
Rather than saying why are they coughing all over the place, they're actually just saying, are you okay?
I did cut out a lot of your coughs. I've got
I know,
to say.
I noticed when I listened.
There's still loads on there. Yeah. Anyway, enjoying the blog.
Blah, 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 blah.
Do you know what you think of these films for review? They're mostly foreign language and some of my favourites. Here we go. Pan's Labyrinth.
We've both seen that, so unfortunately we can't do that
it's
one.
It's a good film, though. Good
yeah,
film.
It is.
Aguirre, Wrath of God. I don't know that one.
No, I don't. We'll investigate.
We'll have a look at that one. Hidden.
Don't know that one either.
We're not doing very well on this. Together. By Lucas Moodyson. No idea. Oh,
maybe
God.
He's playing with us. Maybe he's just making
he's
these
making
films
up. He's making this up. Okay, Let the Right One. Oh, well,
that's
seen
already
that one.
On our list to do, actually. We do. You've seen it.
Yeah, Let the Right One.
I've not seen it. So
I've seen the Swedish version.
Yeah, I presume he doesn't mean us to watch the American remake.
I guess not.
Yeah,
that's
so we definitely will be covering that one, Ian.
Audition. by Takashi Miike.
We've both seen that.
I haven't seen that.
Haven't you?
Don't
speak
for me.
Oh, sorry. I just presumed you had.
No.
Okay, right. Well, maybe we'll do
that's
one.
That's a possibility. High Fidelity.
We've both seen that one.
The Beat That My Heart Skipped. Don't know that one.
No, I don't know. We'll investigate.
I'll have a look. And he's put down all this. This one deserves two places. Rushmore.
And that's already on our list.
That is on
so,
our list, yeah.
We're not quite sure when we'll do it, but neither of us have seen it, and we both want to watch that one.
Yeah.
So that will be coming along. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, nice.
Good you haven't disgraced yourself.
And that's the danger, isn't it, when you write onto us, because we're so strict and horrible
exactly.
with everyone.
We'll basically rubbish your suggestions in front of all our millions of viewers.
I don't know about you, I'm very excited we're getting messages. Now I've opened the floodgates, we're just going to get loads of abuse from people. But we won't read out those, obviously. But yeah, it's really lovely. And that's exactly what we want. We do want to hear your suggestions, because I think we've got about 30 films in the bank that we sort of have decided we probably want to cover at some point. Would you say about 30
like
odd?
Yeah.
So that leaves another, you know... Well, hang on, how many have we done? What number of podcasts is this? So we're looking at about another 40, about another 60 odd.
God, your maths is terrible.
No, I was just saying.
I can see the cogs whirring in your brain.
About 60 odd films.
Did you shush me?
Yes, I shushed you because you were being disruptive.
I tell you, you work with kids too much.
Yeah. We've got about 60 odd films to pick and find. Please. Do let us know.
Yeah, it's true. Write in the email address is 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen@gmail.com.
Or you can tweet us at 101thingsinc, is that right?
Yes, right. Yeah. 101thingsinc, all one word. And
and you can Facebook us. I don't know if you've heard of Facebook. It's quite popular at the moment. Lewis is quite old, so you may not have heard it. It's a social net. It's like MySpace, Lewis.
What? I can't hear you.
So our Facebook group is just 101films. You should have seen.
I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
But if you go to the blog, 101films@wordpress.com, all the links are
all there. The links are there. So you can leave messages there. You can write on our wall.
Yep.
As
any
the
old
kids
abuse
say
is fine.
On Facebook, you can tweet us. Wow, it's so interactive, isn't it?
I know.
But onwards and upwards. God, that's 7 minutes of just rambling. Right, okay.
We'll cut all this out.
Yeah, we'll cut it out. So our film is Inception. Now, this is one of yours.
Yes.
I've not seen, Inception before. Had meant to, was something I was really interested in. I do like Christopher Nolan. I've seen, obviously, the Batman films, obviously. But also really enjoyed Insomnia.
I haven't seen Insomnia, actually. That might be a candidate for
Okay. And, what's the name of the two magicians?
The Prestige.
Yes, and I really liked that.
Yeah,
I thought
that was good.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I really wanted to see it, but I can't remember the circumstances just prevented me from doing so. So I was quite up for doing this one.
Yes. There's a note of hesitation in your voice.
No. We'll come to that in a bit. But
anyway.
So yeah, go on, give the pitch.
Yeah, so the pitch of the film is...
Sorry.
The pitch of the film is that Leonardo DiCaprio is a specialist in dreams, and it's some time in the future where
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there, Lewis.
What?
Because that's not the pitch. You're just describing the main. But the pitch is like a one sentence summary.
Right. Well, I don't know.
Okay. All right. It's a heist movie set in your dreams. There you go. I've done it.
We'll cut this bit out. Anyway, so Leonardo DiCaprio goes into people's dreams.
That's turned into like one of our catchphrases. We'll cut this bit out. Because the amount of times we use it. And then don't. And then it's in the podcast. Anyway,
it's
so Leonardo DiCaprio plays, what's his name, Cobb.
Cobb, yes. And he goes into people's dreams and takes information from them as part of a kind of corporate espionage thing.
Yeah, it's set in the near future as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
Perhaps not even the near future, almost like a slightly alternate version of the world.
It's never really clear, but basically there's this machinery that lets you enter other people's dreams that's been developed by the military, obviously.
Mm.
And
they're in my dreams.
They're in my dreams too.
They tell me things. Anyway, go on.
So the idea is you can go into people's dreams and steal information from their dreams, or in this case, plant ideas.
And hence the name Inception, of putting an idea into someone's head that they think is their own. So it's making a suggestion which they think is their own idea, and so they then act in a certain way.
That's it.
Big, heavy, philosophical idea. And,
yeah. It's a kind of cut above your average blockbuster in terms of thinky bits.
But then again, it made an enormous amount of money. I was looking at the box office. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
It made something like 800 million.
Worldwide. And insane. But then again, that's Christopher Nolan, isn't it? He creates intelligent, clever blockbusters that make huge amounts of money.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it, how in Hollywood the whole thing about, we've got to go for the lowest common denominator. We've got to dumb down because that's the only way people actually will go and see something.
Yeah.
To me, it seems the moment anything is reviewed as slightly clever, yet is also exciting, interesting, people flock to go and see it. So people like something a bit different.
Yeah, definitely. So it just goes to show you...
Yeah,
you
Hollywood.
You can have your cake and eat it. Yeah. You can have an intelligent blockbuster.
Kurt Humperdinck the third. He'll be making an appearance later, fans.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're right. I mean, I think Mark Kermode mentions in his book The Good, the Bad, and the Multiplex.
Someone's doing research.
He kind of cites Inception as one of the shining beacons of why you can actually make modern blockbusters that are blockbusters and are still intelligent, well made movies.
Mm, definitely.
Although I noticed just above Inception in the chart of. Best grossing films was Transformers 2. So you can...
Well, there's room for both, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, that's
although, really, no, there isn't. They should really just burn all copies of Transformers 2.
Yeah, well, I've not seen Transformers 2. I saw Transformers, and that was okay, but that was enough for me.
Yeah.
I didn't need to see any more Transformers than that.
I saw the first one in the cinema with my girlfriend. And
romantic.
I know. And she loved it. She came away enjoying it more than I did, I think.
Well,
it was fantastic.
She loves the Decepticons. She's a big Megatron fan.
Yeah, I prefer Starscream myself.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, the connoisseur does. But,
the sequel, we watched that. We were quite excited, brilliant, And it's absolutely awful.
I should have gone to see Adam Sandler instead. Your other favourite type of film.
I wondered how long it would take before you brought that up. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
So it's got a great cast, actually, this film.
Yeah, it's a great kind of ensemble cast, as they say.
I don't know who says that, ensemble. Leonardo DiCaprio, I've already mentioned, playing Cobb. We've also got Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Tommy from Third Rock!
Tommy from
Third Rock. Tommy from Third Rock from The Sun.
He's great in this. He's also in that, this will date the podcast, I'd say, but new film with Seth
Rogen?
Seth Rogen, yeah, where he has cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember the name. But
I wish you wouldn't keep bringing films up that you can't remember the name of. It just makes us look bad. I know the one you mean.
But I do like it. I think he's quite a good actor.
Yeah.
I think he's... and we've also got Ellen Page playing... Ariadne. God, I've even forgotten her name. I was just trying to read it off the bit of paper. Ariadne. Who was in...
Juno,
that's it. Yes. The baby film.
The
pregnant teenager film.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy,
yeah, he's been in a lot of weird films. Rock and Roller.
Passed
me by.
Yeah.
I can't remember. He's been in Warrior. He was in Warrior. He kind of really put on loads and loads of muscle to kind of play it. All I know about that film is the...
Is that the scientific phrase? Put on loads and loads of muscle.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. I can't think what he built up. I don't know. But anyway, I can't think what else he's been in apart from that.
I recognised him.
Did
again,
you?
Who knows? Ken Watanabe. Say these names. If I can't pronounce them correctly, you should step in.
Ken Watanabe.
Well, that's not that different to what I just said.
Watanabe.
I got Ken right.
Yeah. He was in Memoirs of a Geisha. And
he's in also Batman...
Begins,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a small role in that. Cillian Murphy? Is it Cillian or Cillian?
I think it's Cillian. I'm not sure, though. I
think people pronounce it different ways, don't they? He plays Robert Fisher, who is the person they need to put the
impregnate.
Idea... impregnate the idea in to incept. That doesn't quite work, but yeah.
Who else? Tom.
And of course, playing Cobb's wife.
The lovely Marion Cotillard.
who I recently... when you sort of see someone, you're like, oh, I know, where's she from? She's in a new Woody Allen film. Is it Midnight in Paris?
Oh, right, yes.
And she plays a French woman. we're not talking about that film. But yeah, all the way through. In a way, like when you kind of see something and it reminds you of a dream.
Yeah.
And you spend the whole time going, this feels familiar. Or I think I've dreamt about this. I spent the entire film going, who are you? I know you. And then towards the end, I suddenly remembered. Also, Michael Caine, of course. He's,
Michael Caine. He's in... It was great when he popped up. It was like, first it was, oh my God, it's Tommy from Third Rock. And then it was, it's bloody Michael Caine.
Well, it's a Christopher Nolan film.
Yeah, it's good.
He's in a lot of his...
He's keeping Michael Caine in work these days.
I think this, to be honest, is the only films that Michael Caine does. I think Michael Caine's more or less retired now, isn't he?
Is he? Yeah. He's finally got picky in his old age.
Yeah. It took years and years and years, but finally got there.
Finally learned how to say no to some films.
And in one of his last roles, Pete Postlethwaite.
Pete Postlethwaite, yeah, he's not in it very much, but... No. But yeah, sad he passed. It was very...
And it's also, it's quite sad because he plays a ill and then dead man in this film. So, yeah, strange. Oh, and we didn't mention Dilip Rao.
Dilip Rao, yeah, I don't know what else has he been in.
I recognise his face. Yeah. If only there was something, some kind of database on the internet that had movies on it that we could check. Ah, well, one day. So it's a large old cast, but I felt they gave a decent amount of character and time to each person. I mean, Michael Caine is pretty much a cameo.
I think he was in it for like 2 or 3 minutes or something with that film.
The rest of them really sort of have a sort of quite a good role in each one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you really got a feeling for each character. I mean, particularly Cillian Murphy's character is this kind of petulant, rich kind of kid who didn't really have any emotional attachment to his father. I think he really...
Yeah. His father, played by Pete Postlethwaite.
And I also thought Leonardo DiCaprio was surprisingly good. Leonardo DiCaprio is one of those actors that I don't like very much, but then he's in quite a lot of films that I think he's really good in, like Catch Me If You Can. I thought he was really good in that.
Well, I think in Leonardo DiCaprio's defence, I think the problem is he was a pretty boy. And everyone just presumed he couldn't act because he was pretty.
Yeah.
And as he's got older, and to be fair, like, again, because he was in Titanic, which is such a huge film. But really, every other film since then have been quite clever, quite slow, quite considered films. He's not been in any blockbusters that I can really think of. Out-and-out blockbusters. He's not done a Transformers film.
No. I think since Titanic, he's actually picked his roles quite carefully.
Yeah, and, I think so.
Yeah, so he was very good in it. I think the original, they were trying to get Brad Pitt originally, which I think would also have worked, but in a different way.
Yeah, I think maybe Brad Pitt's a little bit too old for it, though.
Yeah, possibly.
But yeah, and essentially the film is a heist movie, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a heist movie.
As I said, set in people's...
We're putting the team back together.
Yeah, and it's a classic heist format. There's one last job. Cobb not allowed to go back home.
For various reasons. Which we won't explain from spoiling the plot.
But he can't go back home. He really wants to see his children. So can...
Ken Watanabe.
Watanabe's character, Saito. gives him a job. To, you know, one last job. If he does this job, he will clear it.
I got one last job for you, kid.
Well, so he can get back into the US. And, you know, in pretty much every heist movie, it's always one last job.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it? Maybe it's because you then feel like they're almost good guys.
Yeah.
Because if you're just watching criminals commit a crime and then get away with it.
Yeah, that's true. If you know that they're going to go straight afterwards or that they're doing it for a nobler reason.
Yeah, then it's okay. But if they are just stealing off someone and then just getting away with it, no one would really enjoy that, would they? So they're doing one last job to... once this is done, and he will be allowed to go back to the country and see his children. So he has to put the team together. Again, very similar to heist.
Ocean's 11 in Dreams.
Really done. Yeah. Really reminded me of Ocean's 11. Yeah. Each character having their quirk. Shame, unfortunately, none of them have a really terrible British accent. Like, what's his name? In Ocean's 11.
I've never seen Ocean's 11.
He gnaws it up. Oh, what's his name?
Vinnie Jones.
No. It will come to me perhaps later. But but yeah, each one is kind of introduced in a slightly unusual and quirky and interesting way to give them their kind of to kind of explain what their skill set is for that that's going to be necessary for the heist, and also to kind of show them as, you know, like, oh, they're a bit unusual. The Eustace character, actually, he's the one who comes up with the sedatives to put people into the sort of dream state.
Yeah.
And there's a lot about it in the film about dreams within dreams, mm-hmm. where you kind of people wake up and then they realise they're actually still asleep and they're still dreaming. Mm-hmm. And they talk about, okay, yeah, we'll do it two levels. And it's just quite, it just made me laugh because it was, again, really like a heist movie where he says, right, I need, you know, a special concoction. And he's like, what, for two levels? And Leonardo DiCaprio's character goes, no, three. In a really over-the-top serious way. And Yusef just goes, I'm intrigued. I'd obviously heard a lot of hype about this film before mm-hmm. I saw it. And, you know, rave reviews on pretty much from every source. Mm. People saying it's amazing, fantastic. A lot of people also saying, oh, it's so complex. And so, oh, you don't know what's going on. It's dreams within dreams. It's not clear what's going on. Mm. I actually found it quite a simple plot to follow. I didn't find it complicated at all. I mean, the idea is pretty basic.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I had a different take on it because when I went to see the film, I didn't know anything about it at all. All I'd heard was that it was good, and that was it. I really had no idea. I saw it in the cinema, so it was a real breath of fresh air. I was expecting like a blockbuster, but I didn't really know it would end up like this. And I'd also heard that some people say, oh, it's very complex. And it isn't really that complex.
No, I don't find it. I think sometimes people have a funny... It's like people were saying, The Matrix, it's really complex, really hard to follow. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was like, really? It's explained quite explicitly what's going on. Do you just... The moment anything is not just sort of just there on a plate.
Yeah, no.
It's... I mean, in... Yeah, like there's whole bits of exhibition where characters literally sit there and explain exactly what the whole concept is.
Yeah,
it's not like it's carefully placed in. It's like there's whole bits of exposition.
Exactly.
Where characters just looking at each other and going, right, so what we're going to do is this. This is how it works. This is what we call this. This is reference to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Try watching a David Lynch film.
I just don't understand people who just don't get that.
No, at all. It's like, it is pretty... I mean, I think we... You know, we've watched a lot of films. We know what to expect.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of films I haven't seen. Well, so maybe I haven't seen. And most of the films I do watch are from the 60s and have rubber monsters in them. But, and those are very simple to follow. I don't know. Anyway, now...
However, one thing I would say about that, though, is that if you do kind of go a bit deeper into it and you start kind of imagining the ideas and where they would go and what does this mean, then you can make it complicated in your mind if you start thinking... Okay, well, if they go to limbo, then if they shoot themselves in limbo, then where do they go off? And all that kind of stuff. It throws up more questions.
Okay, just to explain, if normally, like in real dreams, if you're, you know, falling off a building or something and you hit the ground, you just wake up. In this particular film, I guess to add jeopardy, because the sedative they've taken, if they get killed, they kind of go into what they call a limbo, but I guess like a coma, essentially.
Yeah,
so they might get trapped in their dreams and never wake up. I had... one major problem with this film, which really prevented me from... I enjoyed it, but at the end, it left no real impression on me.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I really expect to come away and go, like a great film, you come away and it's just on your mind and you're thinking about it lots and what, you know, the meaning behind it and the... And, you know, the world you're in seems slightly unreal because you've been so engrossed in the fictional world of the film you've been watching. I came away and was just like, yeah, that's all right. Yeah. And then just instantly forgot about it.
Oh, that's really interesting,
and I think the problem is, all the way through it, I just was like, these dreams aren't like real dreams.
This is something I was going to talk about a bit later on.
And it just really stopped me from it. Every time it kind of like, oh, da da da. Because essentially, it's like the real world, exactly like the real world, except they go, oh, but we're dreaming, don't you realise? And real dreams aren't like that. Like, they go into, like, he goes into his apartment and it's exactly as it is in real life. Mm-hmm. That's not like a dream. In a dream, you walk into a room and it's like a castle, but you're like, oh, it's my mum's kitchen. Even though, cause how many times if someone is telling you their dream, which I know is not the most interesting thing to say, but they say, yeah, it was weird. It was like weird. It was like low. It was huge and there was like a big fire in the middle, but it was like, I knew, it was my grand's house, but it wasn't really my grand's house. But in the dream, you just accept it as that. And I think that's what I really found difficult. It's almost like they... If they'd said instead, like, it's a computer simulation, we're going to put someone in a computer simulation they don't know, I would have totally accepted it.
Mm.
And I would have just gone along with that. And I could have probably got into the whole plot. But all the way through, in every dream sequence, it's like, this is not like a dream at all. It's not that clear. It's not... I don't know how you dream, but in my dreams, it's... You know, they're not... It's not so structured as that. It's so much more odd and ambiguous, and things, characters disappear, and suddenly the whole plot of your dream changes. Now, I know, I suppose you can argue that the characters in this film, the team, are creating certain scenarios for the person dreaming about. But even so, there's a, you know, he says some at one point in the film, Cobb says something like, you know, in a dream, you never realise it's a dream. You accept it as reality. That's true. So why in this did they have to make it so, all the dreams so realistic? Why couldn't they have been really unusual and weird? Because the central character would have not known. He would have just accepted it as reality.
I think it's a really interesting point. I mean, it's interesting because I had a completely the opposite reaction from you. I remember this is one of the films, I think this is the first film since I'd seen since The Matrix, or I'd seen it in the cinema and I'd come out and I went, wow. And I kind of spoke to the person I was with. I think I watched it with my girlfriend. And we were just talking about it. And it was just one of the first films that made me go, wow, that was amazing, you know. And but in terms of like the look of it, I totally get what you're saying. And it was actually going to be one of my criticisms of the film is that the actual dreams themselves aren't as imaginative as they could be. You know, why would you just dream of boring kind of office blocks and things like that?
Well, that's the thing. You do dream of boring office blocks, but in the middle of the office block, suddenly your gran will walk through.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that at all. And it says, like, oh, it fills it with your subconscious. Like, the kind of team, the person creates the sort of situation that the dream is in, and then the person who is doing, who's, you know, being hijacked, being intercepted, populates it with people from their own subconscious, projections rather than their own subconscious. Well, in that case, it should just be like random people. It should be the old school friends, someone you saw on the bus that day, famous people randomly. That's what dreams are like.
Mm.
You know, I once dreamt that I was fighting Vivian from the Young Ones. It was just his head, and he was spinning out fire because he was the devil, and I was throwing giant peppermints at his head. And in the dream, I accepted it's totally real. And now that's something why, as you say, it's so just like, it just was just a film. And there are moments which are slightly surreal, you know, where buildings kind of fold into themselves, where trains go down the middle of the street, but all the characters are like, oh, now, you know, they'll realise they're in a dream. Well, no, you don't. Mad stuff happens in dreams and you totally accept it.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I mean, I did think about this. I mean, like I said, one of my major criticisms was there's a lack of imagination in the dream sequences. But it's obviously based quite heavily on the idea of The Matrix. I think Christopher Nolan said, I think he wrote it in 2001, not long after he'd actually seen The Matrix. And it's very kind of heavily... base. I mean, he mentions Dark City too, as well. Funnily enough, and it's just kind of. I feel like he's gone for a very realistic depiction of dreams on purpose.
I did read actually. He originally set out to be almost like a horror film.
Yes,
it was like images from your subconscious.
And
maybe that's the film I was kind of expecting. Mm. I just expected it to be more stranger than it was.
Mm.
I expected, as you say, more imagination. And obviously, you know, we're talking about criticism, and I kind of felt like I needed to explain that right at the beginning because that really stopped me from properly enjoying the film.
Mm.
I can go along with pretty much any crazy idea as long as the internal logic makes sense.
Yeah.
To me, the internal logic of this didn't make sense. Every time I talked about dreams, it just was like, well, that's not a dream. That doesn't feel like what dreams feel like, and that's what stopped me from getting into it properly.
Yeah, it doesn't actually feel like a dream.
Yeah, there were only tiny little bits of it were like, that's like a dream. That feels like what the rest of it just didn't. The opening bit with a kind of really strange kind of party palace. That, I felt, was slightly dreamlike. Where they're kind of then suddenly in an apartment, and you see loads of people running through the streets.
Yeah.
That felt a little bit like a dream. Yeah. But then just the bits where they were just like walking around, as you say, in an office pocket of an office meeting, or when they were
they
just...
weren't having meetings. They were mostly shooting guns at each other. Just having middle management
meetings.
Or when
they were attacking like a like on a mountainside, attacking a base. Yeah, well, as you say, that was like a computer game, not like a dream.
Well, that was like James Bond.
I felt like
the Managed Secret Service. Yeah. I think Nolan actually mentioned that in an interview, that he kind of, that's what he based it on. And
it really reminded me of, there's a opening level Time Splitters 2.
Yeah.
Is set in an art space, and also GoldenEye.
GoldenEye 2, yeah. Oh, that was one of my favourite bits. I just like the bit where he's skiing backwards shooting his machine gun. The little boy in me kind of leapt out of my seat.
Yeah, I would say Existence, which I know is not got a great reputation, but that, in a funny, even though that was about computer games, that felt more like a dream. That conjured up the feeling of dreams much better than this film, which felt more like an interactive, immersive computer game.
Yeah.
As I say, if they just said straight from the beginning, like, okay, we're going to put them in this state and then using this computer, like, it's like a virtual reality world, they don't know they're in the virtual reality world or something like that, then I could have bought into it. Because they were, and I understand why they were talking about dreams, because it, obviously dreams are so much more interesting, because obviously, yeah, we don't get into virtual reality states every day, but we do dream every night, and so that, yeah, really connects to us. But then they didn't really use the dreams there properly.
I get it.
Who am I to criticise the great Christopher Nolan? I don't know. That's for me is why, even though so much of it was good, great cast, really interesting, great set pieces, and we'll come to the best bits in a moment. Loads of really good stuff, but at the end of the film, I couldn't let myself go. I couldn't get totally in, because there was just this voice like, "That's not a dream. It's not like a dream." Yeah, and so I just couldn't help it.
I know when you spoke, we talked over the weekend, and you said, I didn't like it as much as I thought I might. And so when I watched it again last night, I thought, maybe I was a victim of the hype. But no, I actually really loved it.
I've talked enough now. You tell me why. Yeah, do you love this film then? Why do you think it's so fantastic?
Well, I think it's just, it is an intelligent blockbuster. And it's very clever. There's nothing else really like it out there. I know I've mentioned The Matrix and Dark City as kind of similar kind of world within a world kind of depictions where you don't know what's real. But it's just... fantastic cast, fantastic acting, and just really kind of gripping, exciting scenes. And like Ian said, I think we're going to talk about this in a sec, but there are some really, really brilliant set pieces. But I think before we get into that, we should do our trivia quiz.
Trivia!
Oh, wow, you've really been working on that jingle. Trivia!
Yes, oh, the trivia quiz.
The famous trivia quiz.
The world famous.
The rustling of paper means the quiz has commenced.
So, Lewis, have you written up the quiz questions yet on the blog?
No.
You've got one bloody job. One job.
I've been editing the podcast the last couple of weeks. What have you been doing? Nothing.
I've been busy.
Anyway.
Yeah, I've been coming up with all sorts of ideas.
What?
I don't know. I just realised how weird that and creepy that sounded.
I've been following all sorts of people.
Thinking about the podcast in all sorts of ways. Right. Did you go first last time, or did I go?
I can't remember. I think I went first last time. So
yeah, I think.
Or did I?
I think I went first last time. You go first this
time. Okay. Here we go. This is a nice easy one, which you might also have as well. What character does Tom Hardy play in the upcoming Batman film, The Dark Knight Rises?
I'll guess Bane.
Okay, next one. Who played the big giant head in Third Rock from the Sun?
Oh, because of Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Okay, it was William Shatner.
Oh, straight away. Next one. And this is to do with Ellen Page, because she played Kitty Pryde in X-Men The Last Stand.
Carry on. Yeah.
Kitty Pryde, better known as Shadow Cat.
Yeah.
But what was Shadow Cat's first code name before she was Shadow Cat? This is a really nerdy question. God. I thought I'd throw a super nerd question in there.
Shadow Cat.
Yeah. Time is a ticking. I don't think you'll get this one.
No, I don't know. I'll guess.
To be fair, I didn't know either. I just looked it up.
Fades.
Fades. Fades.
With a Z.
Fades. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, again, like just like last time, whereas normally I ask loads of questions like those and you just ask questions about the film, we've totally reversed again. I've got loads of questions just about the film.
Oh, right. Okay.
Inception is the first film of Christopher Nolan's since his very first feature.
Yeah.
To do what particular thing? It's the first time. This is a little bit like my question
from the Fisher King. Yeah.
It's the first Christopher Nolan film.
I think I know the answer to it. Okay, I think it's the first original film that's not based on a book or a character.
Right. Okay. Okay, there's two things here. There's two questions about Non Je Ne Regrette Rien, okay?
Right.
Which is a song really important to the film, as it's because it's played to the dreamers to make them realise they're about to be woken up. It's time to wake up, time to finish what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, the first one.
Okay, two questions about this.
Yeah, two questions about this. The first, other than the fact that Non Je Ne Regrette Rien appears in the film, what other connection does the film have?
Oh, I know this one. I know this. Marion Cotillard played Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose.
Yeah, okay. And there is another similarity between the song and the film. Mm-hmm. What is that similarity?
Oh, I think, is it a line of dialogue that Leonardo DiCaprio says right at the end? He says, I don't regret anything, or you never, no regrets.
Okay, something I'm going like to give that. You. It's not that, but I'm going to give you one little bit of extra clue there, because
okay.
I think it is a tough one. It's less about what appears in the film, more to do with the structure of the film.
Ah, I think I know this. It starts off with a slowed down version of the song, and ends with a speeded up version to show that you're ending the dream. Is that right?
Okay. Well, I'll. So that is a tough one. It's hard to really phrase it. Okay, all right. First of all, give the answers.
All right, okay. So what character does Tom Hardy play in the upcoming film The Dark Knight Rises?
I said Bane.
You said Bane, you were right.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Number two, who played the big giant head in Third Rock from the Sun? You're right, William Shatner.
The Shatster.
As his wife calls him.
Yeah.
What was Kitty Pryde's code name before she was called Shadowcat? Sprite. Didn't know that one. I just looked that up on the internet.
Sure. Okay. So, with my question, so I got 2 out of 3 correct there. His first film to feature, since his first film, which is completely original, not based on a comic or a book or anything like that. The first connection between Non Je Ne Regrette Rien is, as you said, that Marianne, Cotillard played Edith
Edith Piaf. God, your pronunciation.
And you came up with. It was tricky because there are actually loads, and we'll perhaps talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
There are loads of connections between the song and the film. But the one I was looking for, certainly into the structure, was that the song lasts for 2 minutes 28 seconds and the film lasts for 2 hours 28 minutes.
Oh, I did
and
read
that
this.
That was the link I was looking for. But it's slightly difficult because there were so many connections.
Yes, there aren't.
But without saying, what similarities are there between the length? it's too close.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, cool.
So you got 2 out of 3, right? So it was a tie.
Oh, good stuff. So, moving
swiftly on.
Good, don't care. Right, moving on. We need to keep the running totals of this. I've got to do this.
Yeah,
I've got to listen to all the podcasts again and write
down
these
questions.
I'll tell
you what, over Christmas when we have a bit more time.
Yeah. Actually, you've got 2 weeks off. You can do it. I've got to go to work.
Yeah, I'll sit down, I'll listen to all of these, put myself through it.
bite the bullet.
So, best bits of the film.
Best bits of the film. Well, I've already mentioned, I think, some of the set pieces.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned it. I think my favourite bit was definitely the fight sequence in the corridor with Tommy. I'm just going to keep calling him Tommy.
Tommy. Tommy from Third Rock.
Tommy from Third Rock. Fighting bad guys in a spinning, rotating corridor.
Yeah, that was good. It went on a bit, though, for me.
Oh, I thought it was good. I loved it. It just kept getting more crazy. And they're on the ceiling. It was great.
Yeah, it did go on for a little bit.
It was one of the few kind of things I've seen on the cinema where I thought, wow, that was amazing. How did they do that? That looks just...
Yeah, that's true. I did think the whole way through how they're doing that. They've got an actual corridor which they're rotating around. He's on wires.
That's exactly it. They built a giant... I think it was a 30-metre rotating corridor and they actually just had the camera fixed on the end and they spanned the corridor around. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, most of the time you watch something and it's in CG or something. And you're like, oh, they're just on computer graphics. Yeah. You know, someone could knock that up on their computer.
Yeah, true.
You know, but this was like, wow, that's really amazing cinema.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, I thought that was definitely my highlight. Mm. I'm sure.
Highlight of the week.
Highlight of the week. It's like Harry Hill. Yeah.
You've also got Freight Train. You've got that.
Oh, the Freight Train. Yeah, that was a good bit. I think I just like that because it's
just Freight Train going through the freight city. On the roads.
Freight Train.
Nice.
also, one of my highlights was what's his face? Tom Hardy with his big gun. cheesy bit, but
you said the chase sequence through. Mombasa. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. That's set in the real world, not in a dream. That Cobb, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, is just being chased by some policemen, basically.
I think they're... I think they're counter espionage people from the rival company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
I was under the impression...
He says, I think when he goes to meet him, he says, you know, well, that's right in Tobol or Cobble territory. Cobble is the rival company.
Oh, right.
And yeah, so I think they're agents for Cobble that are chasing
him. Oh, I see. Anyway, but yeah, that's really good, especially when he kind of has to squeeze down that really small alleyway.
Yeah,
he's
that's
squeezing
really good,
through.
Yeah. My favourite bit was he...
Although in that bit, I was like, why don't you just turn to your side? You'll get through. Because you know, he's kind of like, my shoulder's going through. I was like, just turn to your side.
Lose a bit of weight, Leo. Jeez. Anyway, my favourite bit of that was when he tries to hide in the cafe by going in and ordering a coffee. And everyone's kind of like, no, we're not going to serve you. And everyone's trying to distance themselves from him. Yeah. And you kind of, you get that real feeling of anxiety. You know, you put yourself in his shoes going, oh, God, they're going to...
Yeah.
In a way, that actually felt more like a dream than
dream
bits.
Because
it's got that anxiety of like, oh, you know, why won't these people help me? You know, it's... So, yeah, I thought that was really good.
So, what do you feel the weakest part of the films were?
Weakest part, I think we talked about it already.
Well, yeah,
disappointing depictions of Limbo.
The problem was, actually, there aren't really particularly... Perhaps, as I said, the putting the team together is a little bit stagey.
Yeah, it's a bit cliched.
But the rest of it, it wasn't so much it was weak. It was just the fundamental concept behind it, I felt, wasn't quite right. And that sort of stopped me enjoying a lot. Yeah. But the actual... If it was just a different MacGuffin, if it was a different sort of idea behind it, then the whole thing would be really strong. And, you know, as you said, great characters, really exciting set pieces, really well acted, great, you know, some good dialogue, blah, blah, blah. Mm. It was just that fundamental part of the film really just weakened it for me.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's specific. I mean, I could kind of, like, forgive the kind of video game-like dream sequences, you know. I could suspend my disbelief and just think, well, yeah, that's what they've gone with in the film, fine. But when it came to, there's this kind of plot in the film where in this dream sequence, if you die in the dream sequence, you go to limbo, which is, as they call it, unconstructed dream space, where the idea is that wherever you go down there and it's just kind of blank canvas that you create anything you want from your mind.
Yeah.
And Leo Cobb and his girlfriend, Mal.
The accent made it tricky.
I know, it's difficult. They've kind of created this world together for 50 years, kind of down in this place. And they've basically come up with a kind of like urban town planners kind of grid-like block.
Yeah.
It was very strange. It's like, if you had 50 years to be able to create anything you want, anything you want.
It just made Canary Wharf.
They made Canary Wharf.
It looks like the Isle of Dogs. It really did, yeah.
It's just, yeah. It's like, why did you bother? You know, you could have had like Teletubby Land down there or something.
Yeah,
like,
you could have had, as you say, absolutely anything.
Anything at all. Yeah. You've made this. And so it was like, yeah, that was a little bit disappointing. I felt they could have just gone to town with that, perhaps.
Yeah, just, sorry to change subject slightly, just talking about Mal. When Ellen Page's character sort of talks to Tommy from Further Up from the Sun, and she asks him about Cobb's wife, and you know, like, oh yeah, because Cobb's wife is dead, which you find out very early in the film. That's not a real spoiler, but she keeps appearing in while Cobb's dreaming as kind of a projection of his subconscious, and you know, she says that, what was she like, and Tommy from Further Up from the Sun just says she was lovely. And I thought that's exactly how people do talk. Yeah. That was just such a really nice line, really understated. Because in film, people just say, oh, she was amazing. Da, da, da. But people do just say, if you meet someone's girlfriend and someone says, oh, what was she like? If you like them, you do go, oh, no, she was lovely. And that's all you say. You don't go into much more detail. It's just a small thing, but no. It really rang true for me, is that's exactly how people talk.
Yeah.
In this quite science fiction, dreamscape film. That just really seemed like a properly, very authentic sounding bit of dialogue to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I think that was a good line.
Yeah, anyway, sorry. It came to mind, I just really I want to mention. No, yeah, because I feel like I've... don't get me wrong, I sound like I've just slagged the film off. I think it's good, I just...
Perhaps you went into it with high expectations. And
perhaps,
really...
Perhaps I did. I was really like, oh, this is going to be good. Yeah.
Well, I think it's not universally loved. I mean, I know there were some quite prominent critics who really just didn't get it or couldn't see the... Well, not didn't get it, but
well,
just couldn't see... You know, it's a quite rare film in that it was... did amazingly well at the box office. Most critics absolutely loved it. Most viewers absolutely loved it. And so it's just kind of a winner on all fronts. But, yeah, there are a few critics who were just like, yeah, I just don't get what all the hype is about, you know? So you're not alone.
So as we've talked about Tommy lots from Further Up from the Sun, kind of brings us nicely on...
He's here tonight!
It brings us nicely on to our feature, which of course is named after a line from Further Up from the Sun.
That's true.
I think this has come... That film, that TV series, that's okay. But, I mean, I don't think I've seen it in about... 6 or 7 years has come up now twice in a row on our podcast. But I've got a great idea for a movie.
I've got a great idea for a movie.
Lewis, do you have a great idea for a movie this week?
Right,
and we get into character.
Okay, so what's your character again?
Kurt Humperdinck the Third.
Kurt Humperdinck the Third. Okay, all right, Kurt.
Hit me, kid.
Okay, here. Great idea for a movie. Okay, this week.
You sound nervous. Settle down. Do you want some ice water? Janine, get some ice water in here.
I'm a bit worried. I'm not sure I can top Friends in Space. But,
well, it was a great film.
It's a great film.
Great film. Made a lot of money.
David Schwimmer's finest work. Anyway,
why are you doing my accent? Not doing my accent. You're pitching.
Okay, here we go.
I gotta destroy you this time. I can get you and you'll never work again. Hit me.
All right, so Christopher Nolan is famous for directing the Batman films, and he's just about to direct the third in the trilogy.
I love Christopher Nolan. He's great. Great guy. Personal friend. Carry on.
So, you throw me now. So the Batman films, the remakes, all been very dark and very kind of like serious. But this third film is going to be the last one, so they're going to probably start a new trilogy. So I thought, well, let's take it back to his 60s roots, and we'll do Carry On Up the Batcave. Think about it, it'd be perfect. It's perfect.
Leave it there.
No, that's it.
You don't have to go into any more detail.
You could have the cream of British comedy talent playing it. James Corden as Batman. Alan Carr as the Joker.
What about Alan Carr as the... I'd have Alan Carr as Robin. I want Carr and Robin. So the actors are the mission.
What do you reckon? Is it a goer? It can't be worse than Carry On Columbus.
That's true.
is that the green light?
I think I'm having a heart attack. Yeah. Janine, can we get the kid out here?
Another winner.
Right. Carry On Up the Batcave. Good. So, would you recommend this film, Lewis?
I would definitely recommend this film.
Of course you
would.
You recommend it to me, so of course you would.
Well, yeah, it's a great film. I think it shows you what you could do with a Hollywood blockbuster if you really tried, and not just churned out Transformers movies.
And, I would recommend it as well. I would perhaps give up front the proviso, like, it's not as strange as you might think it's going to be. Yeah, they're not really dreams. But it's, as I say, great cast, well put together, well directed. Yeah. So I would recommend it. But yeah. I wouldn't say it was the best film ever. I wouldn't be like, oh, you've got to see it. I would recommend several other Christopher Nolan films before I recommended this one.
Oh, interesting. The Prestige was good.
I would definitely recommend The Prestige. I really, really enjoyed The Prestige.
Although that does require some suspension of disbelief as well. Well, quite a lot of suspension of disbelief.
David Bowie is
Tesla. David Bowie.
Oh, maybe that's why I like it, because it's got David Bowie in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that was the reason I liked it as well.
So...
Here it comes. Here it comes. Hey!
It's back, ladies and gentlemen.
The return of Ian's ukulele challenge. It's been a few weeks, hasn't it, since we've done this?
It has. It's been several weeks. Well, you don't have to listen to me play.
I was just
providing a bed for us.
Oh, it's good. Discussed. I just got a faraway look in my eyes as I was listening to the beautiful sound of the ukulele.
So,
is it tuned this week?
Yes, it is tuned. I tuned it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Sonorous sound of the ukulele.
So, this actually, before we do the ukulele challenge, we should discuss the importance of Norge Regret Rian.
Yes. Or Rian de Rian, I think is its official name.
Okay, fair enough. because it has as we mentioned in the trivia quiz, it's mad really that the film is 2 hours 28 minutes and the song is 2 minutes 28 seconds.
Yeah.
When I read that, I was like, "That's crazy!" That they struck it so closely.
Yeah.
As I said, this song is.
I'm sure that's a coincidence. It must
be. Do you think?
Why would you make a film exactly that length just for the sake of saying, "Oh, it's the same length as this song"?
I suppose. I mean,
I'm sure it's a coincidence.
The song is really tied in to the film, isn't it? It's a fundamental part of it. As you said, it's used to signify when characters are waking up or coming out of the dream. It's used to sort of show, that the character's got to come out of the dream state. The film opens with the song, the film closes with the song.
Yeah, and it's cleverly tied, especially the deeper they go into the dream, the slower time goes. So the slower the music plays, the further into the dream you are, to the point where it's at the bottom layers, it's just a really kind of drone.
Yeah. In fact, there's one bit where a character says, can you hear the music? I wasn't sure. Yeah, it's been 20 minutes and I wasn't sure if it was the song or just the wind.
Yeah.
So it's really fun of me. So I thought I'd try and do it on the ukulele.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Hoping
you've got better at it since the... it's been a while since we've done this.
Yes, it is.
Have you been practicing?
No, I haven't.
Oh my god. Right, okay, come on then.
I've heard it's the funniest bit of the podcast, someone told me once.
Really?
Your girlfriend told me that.
Really? She said you were the funniest bit of the podcast. She listens to the podcast.
She just texts me sometimes.
And thought, yeah, get rid of that Lewis guy. Ian's where the comedy
I get that all the time at home. So, I may, as always, struggle to sing and play at the same time. So
that's what makes it so good, this feature.
So I may ask Lewis to step in at some point. Perhaps we could do it together.
Yeah, we could do it.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Because neither of us can speak French, so this would be very funny.
And also, I learned how to play the song from a video on YouTube, which is done in completely French. Oh. So
alors, comme ci, comme ça.
I was like, is that F? Yeah. Yeah, things like that. So I was just having to look at his fingers lots. I got the gist. Yeah. So, okay. So.
Maintenant, alors.
So, un, deux, trois. Oh no.
It was going so well.
Okay. So, okay.
Ne l'a bien quoi m'a fait, ne l'a mal tôt, c'est ma bien égale. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est paix. controversy.
That'll do.
That's enough.
I didn't sing at all.
That was terrible. I thought you were going to join in. Just let me go
I
solo.
I just said I was going to, and then I let you sing the whole thing. But that was kind of, that sort of sounded like it.
Yeah. Right, and on that bombshell.
So, that brings us to the end of the podcast.
The end of another fantastic episode.
Wake up. It was just a dream. Wouldn't that be great if we then, if this was actually dreamless and you just now woke up?
And then we'd have to do it again. Yeah. Oh,
that's our singing the ukulele challenge in the real life.
I'm not going to forget that in a hurry.
I will try and sing next time.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. Anyway, see you next time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Dream
bye.
Of us. Bye. Bye. Dream of us. Bye. Bye. So I was looking at our search, how people find us, and what search searchable items. What's the phrase?
Search terms.
Search terms. That's it. And one of them is Ian's ex-girlfriends. So I'm gonna type that into Google, and it'll come to. So I'm not quite sure what to think about that.
Well, maybe Ian's ex-girlfriends are listening. Did you type in Ian's ex-girlfriends?
Well, maybe one of my ex-girlfriends typed into Google Ian's ex-girlfriends to see. Perhaps there's a support group that's being formed.
How many of them are there? Maybe they formed a choir.
A growing number.